I'll ask you, if you will, this morning to turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. My text this morning is verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In opening up the text, I want to ask and answer three questions. And I pray that God will bless and God will give all of us ears to hear and hearts to receive His word. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. My first question is, what does the Bible mean by heart? What does the Bible mean by heart? Obviously, it is not speaking of the physical organ in our bodies. The physical organ is all important. And out of it, we might say, are the issues of physical life. It causes the blood to go out to all of the cells, carrying oxygen and food for energy. It is all important to our physical life. Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, also authored the book of Ecclesiastes. And in that last chapter of that book, in speaking of old age, bringing on death, speaks of the physical heart as the pitcher being broken at the fountain, or the will broken at the cistern, speaking of both parts of the heart. The pitcher being broken at the fountain, or the will broken at the cistern. When the will is broken, the pulse stops, the blood ceases to flow, and death results. But when the Bible speaks of the heart, as in our text this morning, keep thy heart, my son, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We know this does not refer to the physical organ. This refers to the being of man, and it includes these three things. It includes the mind, the intellect. When the Bible speaks about the heart, it refers to the mind, and it refers to the emotions, and it also refers to the will. The mind, the emotions, and the will. So that's what our text is speaking of. What does the Bible mean by heart? It means your mind, your emotions, and your will. My second question is this, and please listen to it. How does a person have a heart that is worth keeping with all diligence? Let that sink in. We're admonished from the Word of God, each and every one of us here today, to keep our hearts, our mind, our emotions, our will with all diligence. But how does a person have a heart that is worth keeping with all diligence? And I have two answers to that question, one negative and one positive. First, the negative. How does a person have a heart that is worth keeping with all diligence? It is not by our first birth that we have a heart that is worth keeping. It's not by our first birth, our birth into this world, that we have a heart that is worth keeping with all diligence. Consider what we read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 about the heart of man. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Does that sound like a heart that is worth keeping with all diligence? A heart that is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things? The Lord Jesus said this, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile the man." Does that sound like a heart that is worth keeping with all diligence? A heart out of which comes murders and lies and blasphemies, those things that defile the man. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, he speaks of men having a foolish heart. A foolish heart which causes some men to change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Does that sound like a heart that is worth keeping with all diligence? A heart that would cause a man to make an image of another man or a bird or a cockroach, something creeping on the ground, and worship that? Does that sound like a heart that's worth keeping with all diligence? A darkened heart that would cause that? If you will, look with me. Keep your places here, but turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 and 18. Paul is writing to believers. Verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened." What did I say the heart consists of? The mind, the emotions, the will. "Having the understanding, the mind darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." A blinded heart. That's what all men have. That's what you have. That's what I have. That's what we have inherited from our father Adam. We all spring from him. And in Adam, we all sinned and we all fail. And we all come into this heart, into this world rather, with a heart that is not worth keeping. A wicked heart. A deceitful heart, a blinded heart. a heart that is described in 1 Corinthians 2. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because he has a heart, a deceitful heart, a blinded heart, a fallen nature. Neither can he know them. We come into this world. My point is, we all come into this world with a heart that is not worth keeping. How does a person have a heart that is worth keeping? And this is the positive answer. It is by a new birth. It is by a new birth that men have a heart that, yes, is worth keeping with all diligence. The Lord Jesus said to a religious man one night years ago, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive the things of God." Why? Because he has a heart that is blinded. And so a man must, a woman must, a boy or girl must be born again to see the kingdom of God, to receive a heart that, yes, is worth keeping with all diligence. The new birth is the work of God, God the Holy Spirit. And in the new birth, a new creature, a new man is produced. A new heart is given. And yes, it is this new heart that is worth keeping with all diligence. A new heart is one of the promises of the new covenant, as it is given in Ezekiel. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean." A man must be cleansed. A woman must be cleansed from our filthiness. That filthy heart. That evil heart. That sinful nature. Our Lord, after he told Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Then he said two verses later, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." I will sprinkle clean water. Now, we are not washed from our sins in water, but water is a symbol of cleansing. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin. This is one of the promises of the new covenant. God promised, "In that day, I will open a fountain." A fountain opened. And it's a fountain open for filthiness and for sin, that sinners plunged into that fountain, washed in that fountain, lose all our guilty stain. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness." No question about it, no doubt, no ands, if, maybes, or buts. No, when God, the new birth is a work of God, the Holy Spirit. And he says, "I will sprinkle clean water upon thee, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you." We sang that hymn just a few minutes ago, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me." Isn't that what Augustus Toplady was saying? "Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no languor know? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone." Let me go on reading this promise of the new covenant. First, the cleansing. But now, second, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." What's the difference between stone, something that's hard, and something that is fleshly, soft? In the new birth, God gives a new heart. And it is a new heart that has new desires. And with the new heart, it enables a person to know God. Now, men may know that there is a God. All men know that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. All men. I hope you'll read the article on the back of the bulletin. Not now, but later. Something a Greenlander in the 1600s on that island without any knowledge of the scriptures, but yet reasoning, there must be a God. There must be a creator. Oh, yes. And now we live in a day when foolish men deny the existence of God, deny his creative work. How foolish. How foolish. And how men and women are asking because of a deceitful heart. A heart that's desperately wicked. But when God gives a new heart, we come to know God as the God of all grace. To know God in Christ is to know his work of reconciliation. How is it that we may be reconciled unto God? How is it that we may have peace with God? It is only through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Through his obedience and his sacrifice that we have peace with God. We're reconciled to God. In this new heart, there are new desires. One new desire a person has who is born of the Spirit of God, he desires to know more. Tell me more about Christ. You don't have to beg people to come to hear the Word of God. You don't have to use gimmicks and tricks and all of that. When a person has received a new heart, he desires, she desires to go where the Word of God is proclaimed, where I may learn more. More about Jesus would I know. New desires. He also has new delights with this new heart. He delights to hear of Christ. He delights to worship God. Delights to sing and glorify God. A new heart means that the mind that was darkened is now enlightened to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The emotions are no longer absorbed with self. That's the way we all are by nature, with a deceitful heart. It's all about me. Self, self, self. When a person receives a new heart, he's no longer self-absorbed. He loves Christ, who first loved him. And when a person has a new heart, he has a new will. And that new will, it's no longer my will, but it is thy will, O God. Our Lord taught his disciples to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. That's a prayer from a new heart, isn't it? Thy will be done. Why? Because we have a new king. New king. Set up his throne. You may be here this morning and you might say, well, preacher, I believe what you've said so far. But I'm not sure that I have been born again. I want you to turn with me to 1 John. This is something that certainly every child of God desires to know, wants to know. I would say, personally, if you want to know, you've been born again. A lost man has no desire to know God. Oh, he may desire to know the God he's imagined in his mind, but I'm speaking about the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God in whose hands we all live and move and have our being. God who is almighty. He's not this grandfatherly figure that some people imagine up in heaven, wringing his hands and hoping and worrying if his creatures will do things that he wants them to do. Oh no, he's God Almighty. His throne is established in the heavens and ruleth over all. He works all things, the Apostle Paul said, after the counsel of his own will. Not your will, not my will, not the will of some committee or some organization. His will. His will. In 1 John chapter 5, I want to point out a few of these verses here. In verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus is the Christ? Can you say with the Apostle Peter when he came to our Lord and our Lord said, "Will you also go away," speaking to his 12 disciples, because the multitudes had gone away saying, "That's a hard saying, what the Lord said. That's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." That's a hard saying. And so they turned and went away, and our Lord turned to the 12 and said, "Will you also go away?" Peter answered for them, "Lord, to whom shall we go? We believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And our Lord told Peter in Matthew's gospel, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. All right, turn back to chapter 3 of 1 John. Verse 14. "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." We know we've passed from death unto life. We love because we love the brethren. Look back to chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 29. "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Do you walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, or in the paths of wickedness? If you really desire to know if you've been born of the Spirit of God, go to this first letter of John and get down on your knees and seek God. Read the scripture. Don't believe what some man like myself or any other man says. Listen to God. Listen to God, his word, speak. And you'll know. You'll know. Turn back to Proverbs now. And I must say this, we must not forget that receiving a new heart does not mean that the old heart or the old nature is eradicated or removed. When born again, there is now two principles in each person who is saved, one called the old man and the other called the new. And our Lord said this. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That's the old man. Is born flesh, gonna die flesh. that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Born of the Spirit and will never die. Will never die. Well, here's my third question. How should the heart be kept with all diligence? If God has given us a new heart, how is the heart to be kept with all diligence? Well, let's continue on from our text. Our text is verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But now let's look at these next few verses. Put away a froward mouth and perverse lips. Now the words froward and perverse, they literally mean the same thing. And they are defined as turned aside. Put away the froward, the perverse lips and mouth that is turned aside, distorted from the right. As I looked at this passage this past week, I thought, we are exhorted to keep the heart with all diligence, this new heart. And the first thing mentioned concerns the mouth, the lips. And then I thought about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ said this, recorded in Matthew 12 and verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This tells me that we must, with all diligence, be careful and watchful as to what we allow to enter, because out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In Philippians, the apostle gives us a test when he said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. A good test of what we take in to the heart. I heard this saying once years ago. I don't remember who said it, but it's a good saying. They said, garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. If you read, look, and listen to that which may be called garbage, you will not be keeping the heart with all diligence. Again, I want to read from Ephesians, and then I'll come right back here. But in Ephesians 5, keeping the heart with all diligence means that we watch what enters in. We're careful about what enters in. Chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 11 and 12, Paul said, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. There are some things that you'd just be better off not reading, not hearing, not looking at. Number two, back in our text, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. One of the gates, you know, in John Bunyan's, one of his works, he talks about man's soul. And one of the gates into man's soul is the eyes. If you think of the examples we have in the Word of God that are given to us, warnings, that things began by looking. I thought about Achan. You remember Achan? Let's read about him. Turn back to Joshua. Achan is a man that brought judgment upon the nation of Israel. And he brought destruction upon himself and all of his family. They were stoned. Why? Because of his sin. And when he confessed his sin, as Joshua admonished him to do, he reveals unto us, I believe, how it all began. Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, had it not for me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the midst of my tent. It all began with seeing, the eye gate into the soul. Who can not think of David, King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart, and yet the scriptures tell us that one evening when he should have been with his armies, he remained in Jerusalem, and walking on the top of his house, he noticed a woman bathing, and she was beautiful. And he looked upon her, and he took her. Do you think when he glanced over the wall to see that he ever thought that that one look would lead to him being guilty for the blood of her husband? Look, we are told, keep thy heart with all diligence. Our Lord said this. He said, for whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And one last thing. Verse 26 and 27, ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder. Think upon it. Think upon your way. Ponder the path of thy feet. Walk in the path of God. You say, well, what is the path of God? Here it is. Here it is. Here it is, given to us in the Word of God. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Ponder. And look back to verse 18 in chapter 4 of Proverbs. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Ponder the path of thy feet. Stay on this path, the Word of God, and you will find it's like a shining light. Shineth more and more and more unto the perfect day when you're called home and in the presence of God. I pray that the Lord would bless this Word. It's God's Word, and it's the truth. And I can't emphasize too much that if God's given you a new heart, it's a heart worth keeping with all diligence. God help us. David, if you will come, and we'll sing a hymn, number 227.